have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's gospel news. Gospel praise and worship leader LeAndrea Johnson. Her journey to a recording career was almost like a plot for a made-for-TV movie of the week. She overcame many obstacles, hardships, and personal disasters to get there. She was born on January 23, 1983. Johnson was the twice-divorced single mother of three children when she fell on hard times, losing her home to foreclosure one day before a friend convinced her to drive to New Orleans in a borrowed car to audition for the cable TV show Sunday Best. The daughter of a preacher, Johnson had sang in front of her father's congregation many times since the age of 2 years old, but she never considered a professional career as a gospel artist. She arrived at the TV audition with little time to spare and wearing flip-flops and the clothes that she drove there in. She was amazed to be selected as a contestant. Johnson ended up being declared the winner at the end of the show's third season. That was in 2010, a placing that not only came with a gift of a new car and a cash prize, but also in time a recording deal through the show's Sunday Best imprint under the Music World Gospel label. A debut 7-song EP, The Awakening of Leandria Johnson, was released in 2011, followed by a 2nd-song EP, The Evolution of Leandria Johnson, in 2012. The two EPs were combined in 2012 to make a full album, entitled The Awakening of Leandria Johnson Deluxe. A 2nd full-length live album entitled The Experience also appeared in 2012. She returned with her 2nd album, Bigger Than Me, 2 years later. Contemporary gospel artist Desmond Pringle, a tenor vocalist, has served as a pastor, worked as an A&R executive, and has written, produced, and recorded with well over a dozen of his contemporaries. Raised in a Pentecostal household in Charleston, South Carolina, Pringle was active in church and took roles in several gospel musicals. After the early 90s, he moved to Chicago, then entered into the music industry by writing material for T.D. Jakes and Reverend Clay Evans. Additionally, he recorded with Yolanda Adams and Twinkie Clark and is among the voices heard on I Believe I Can Fly. Pringle's own albums have been few and far between. The self-released Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs was released in 1999. Recorded live in Chicago studios on the National Day of Prayer was his debut. Each recording that followed made an impact on Billboard's Gospel Albums chart. Loyalty from Tommy Boy Records in 2001, his most successful release, peaked at number 9 and was followed with Be Still on Central South in 2006. Fidelity on Kingdom Records in 2013. During the latter half of the 2010s, he has continued to work with other artists. Pringle released singles such as Let's Adore Him and Get Us Through. Beauty mogul Pat McGrath has been shaping the fashion industry for years, conceptualizing makeup looks for literally every single runway show and magazine that you can think of. She has helped countless other luxurious brands from Giorgio Armani and Dolce & Gabbana launch countless lines. Vogue magazine's Anna Wintour famously proclaimed McGrath to be the most influential makeup artist in the world, and the Queen of England awarded her the coveted title of MBE. In short, McGrath is the most important person working in the beauty industry today. With the opening of Pat McGrath Labs in 2015, McGrath took beauty to the ultimate next level with her own line of innovative cosmetics and products. If you celebrate your birthday in April, you celebrate your birthday with Clara Ward, Ayanna Crawley, Isaac Carey, Amber Bullock, Dion Kipping, Jacqueline Carr, Benita Jones, Erica Campbell, Josh Morales, Jeffrey Golden, and O'Neill Diaz. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, Otis Kemp with Daily Bread. 9, Finish, Tamela Mann. 8, Nothing Else Matters, Brent Jones. 7, The Moment, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard. 6, Goodness of God, C.C. Winans. 5, I Believe, Fred Jerkins. 4, The Better Benediction, P.J. Morton. 3, Wow, Walk on Water, Lena Bird Miles. 2, I Still Have You, Smokey Norkel. And once again, at number 1, Pastor Mike Jr. with Impossible. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
The signs of the times, don't you know that the time is short, and soon the Lord, He will return. Will you be punished? Will you get your reward? There's no more time to get it right when the Lord, when He touched the sky. So just keep your head in His hand and be ready when Jesus comes home. Won't you be ready when come? Won't you be ready when my Savior comes? Get your house, get it in order, in your life make Jesus first. Keep your trimmed and burning bright. Take a stand, stand up for what is right. Make Jesus first in your life and be ready when my Jesus comes home. Oh, won't you be ready? Ready when Jesus comes. Please, you've got to be ready when my Savior comes. Get your house, get it in order in your life. Make Jesus first. Keep your lips trimmed and burning bright. Make a stand. You stand up for what you right. Keep the love of Jesus always in your life and be ready when Jesus comes. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless you. We magnify you. We give glory to you. God, we refuse to even feel like something is wrong or something may not be right. God, because you made this great day. You allowed us to see another day. You put us in a position where we could rejoice in you, the God of our salvation. And so now, God, in this hour, in this time, time, Father God. We want to forget the fact that we can't trust modern technology. We can't even really trust man, but you are a God who's dependable. And so, God, here and now, God, we decrease that you may increase. We loose the angels of the Lord to go up and down and throughout the entire sanctuary. God, arrest the attention of your people. Cause them to pay close attention to the word that you are bringing forth, Father God. We bind up every disturbing, every distracting, every disruptive spirit that may try to present itself, whether it's in this sanctuary or outside of this building. God, we use the angels of the Lord to protect the entire premises wherever your service is taking place. Let the glory of the Lord fill this place. Let the power of the Lord permeate this place. Let the anointing of God fall in this place. God, we give this service over into your charge and your care on the continuous basis, even till the point that we prayed first when we first started this service. It's in Jesus' name that we thank you for the continuous. And it's in that mighty master's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody that loves the Lord, just clap your hands for 5 minutes. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can get distracted, we can get disturbed, and things can bother us and make us feel like everything ain't going the way we think it ought to go. But sometimes you got to understand, if there's anything, and I don't know about you, but I'm a sports fan, so, you know, when I talk about sports, the teams that I talk about, I'm a UConn fan, I'm a Viking fan, I'm a Met fan, I'm a Ranger fan. I know I didn't name any team that you like, but y'all got to get over it. Those is my teams and not yours. But when I want to encourage them to press on, I call myself a couch coach. I'll sit on the couch and give direction of what should happen and where the play should go. The point is, I'm urging and encouraging my team to move forward. And so today, I'm going to urge and encourage the team to move forward. I know things don't look right. Things don't seem right. I know sometimes things don't even feel right, but we don't walk by how we feel, by what we see, or by what we think. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So on this given day, you've heard the scriptures read. I'm going to read the King James Version of just verse 19. I'll get to verse 9 out of John a little bit later. It simply says, "And I will give unto thee keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." For just a few minutes, I want to talk about the subject. Can't find your keys? They're in the door. Now, I got to ask a little crazy question right here, right now. Anybody in this room, in this sanctuary, even on social media, have you ever had that moment when you wandered about your house looking for keys, and whether they were your house keys or your car keys, you try to recall where you last laid them down or where you last put them? You thought you knew exactly where they were, but they were not where you thought they were. You turned over pillows. You turned over the bed pillows. You checked the creases in your couches and in your chairs. You poked through the drawers of your desk. Some of you might have even looked in the refrigerator. You know you was looking for a snack, but we ain't going to talk about that right now. You don't need to get overwhelmed because you can't quite seem to locate your keys. What you do need to understand is when you finally found them, they're in the place where you actually left them. I think about a time for myself a few years back when we were actually using keys. We use a lot of electronic stuff now, but when we were actually using keys, and I'll never forget this particular time, I looked for my house keys. Oh, man, and when I say I looked for at least 15, 20 minutes, finally, in frustration, I went outside the door only to find out that I had left my keys in the door. Of all the places to leave it, not a bad place if you got a safe neighborhood. But if your neighborhood ain't that safe, you might have got some visitors that night. But to God be the glory, my keys were found. They were, usually I put them on my nightstand and I absentmindedly left them. You know, when I empty my pockets, I left my keys right there, and I really didn't miss them until I realized that I actually needed them again. And while thinking about this particular thing, this particular word, word came as I looked at this particular scripture. So I'm just going to share a little bit about you. I found myself thinking about several commands that the Lord Jesus gave. And he gave us keys, if I could say that, as you find in Matthew chapter 16, that are of pressing importance to every believer. And I'm talking about kingdom keys as we as believers can't afford to lose. Jesus in this passage of scripture reveals to us secrets. Or should I say keys that have the ability to unlock or lock whatever it is we need unlocked or locked. See, there are precious blessings that can be manifested in our everyday living as kingdom citizens. And sometimes we fail to realize that we have the key to those blessings being unlocked. Sometimes we fail to think about the very fact that God has given you the power of his word through your faith to cause some things to happen. Now, I want to talk about three basic keys that any believer, anybody who wants to be a believer, ought to pay attention to. The first key is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It literally is the secret to good Christian living. I recall in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we all know that's a pretty easy thing to understand. And we have to understand also that, in fact, God has given us the key to salvation, the key to being relieved, spiritually speaking, from the bondage that we've been in. Some of you don't even realize that when you were born in sin, you were shapen in iniquity. In other words, you came into this world in a sinful state, even though you've done nothing wrong. The truth of the matter is your earthly father, I should say, Adam, messed up in the Garden of Eden. And when he messed up in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says because of one man's disobedience, all man became sinners. But by one man's obedience, all can now be made righteous. All I'm trying to make you understand is you didn't do anything wrong when you came into the face of this world, when you were birthed in here. And whether I always say this, and I hope I'm wrong when I say this, whether it's in the back seat of your daddy's caddy, Motel 6 where you keep the light on, Super 8 or whatever cheap motel that they might have used, and they might have used an expensive one, but that's not important. The fact of the matter is you're here. And so here and now, you have to understand that you have to come to know who Jesus is and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You have to come to the point and place where you're ready to receive. Boy, try saying that five times fast. Ready to receive that which God has made available to you. Some people are looking for ways to circumvent and bypass asking Jesus to be the Lord of their life. They think they're all right. They spend every day of their life, they're distracted by so many different things. The world calls them and pulls them away when God is trying to tug at their heart. It happens in church as well as out there in the world. God is just simply trying to get somebody's attention because your time is short. The time has come where God's about to send his son back to get his bride. And the bride is the church. And if you're not ready. Now, there are those who say, I believe there's a God, but they don't believe in Jesus. And it's crazy how every last one of us, if I ask who wants the benefits of God, everybody's hand's going to go up. Funny how you want the benefits of the living God and the kingdom and all that belongs to the kingdom of God, but you constantly, continuously dismiss the blesser. You want the blessing, but you dismiss the blesser. You don't think you need a savior. You think God's going to just forgive your sins without his son. And there are some who don't think they even need any forgiveness. They think they're just a good person, a morally good person, a sound good person. Baby, I wish I could go along with that program, but you've got to understand, God laid out a standard just for you. God set a precedent just for you. And the scripture's plain and simple when you look in Romans chapter 10, and you start at verse 8, which says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, and even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith, that if you confess with your mouth and please hear me, you've got to understand and believe, and believe, and believe, and believe. Let me say it again. And believe in your heart. How can you receive even accept Jesus Christ if you don't even believe he exists? How can you? Some of you think God would never condemn anyone, and in a sense, you're absolutely right. It is not God who condemns. God doesn't condemn any man. Man has condemned himself. You heard me mention Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Man condemned himself. God told Adam of every fruit of the tree, every tree you can eat the fruit thereof, but the fruit, the tree that's in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat, because in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Let me help you understand what it meant by surely dying. It was first and foremost a spiritual death, meaning a separation from Almighty God himself. Any of you that have been married before and then suddenly found yourself heading for a divorce court, you can sort of kind of understand this separation, because you and your spouse who were once one have now split and have gone your separate ways. And this is what happened when Adam decided to commit high treason and sin against God in the Garden of Eden. God told them not to touch the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, but Eve had to go over there with her curious self and go check it out, and she thought the fruit was good, and so she brought it back, not really realizing that the enemy had set her up. She brought it back to her husband. It was at that point and that time that we split or separated, or can I use this word, divorced God at that particular time. But Jesus decided to come back and to mend the relationship, to fix the relationship. We've got to understand that we condemn ourselves, and it's through our own disobedience. That's sort of kind of like putting water in a pot and filling it to the top, and then you turn the volume on or the fire on, and then the pot begins to boil, and the water begins to spill over. How can you blame the pot for what the flame did? You cannot blame God for what man's sinful state has done. Man prefers his sin nature, and it seems like sin is so prevalent in our lives in this day and age. Sin seems to be blinding the eyes of many. They can't see the truth. Sin is limiting some people's abilities because they've boxed themselves in into just one area of life. When God, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Sin is called callousness in the skin, in the souls of some people, until the point and place where they can't even hear God, and they're sitting right there under the word of God. Sin has shackled some people's feet to the point and place that they can barely move around without tripping themselves up. Sin is unburdening somebody in their shoulders, polluting people's desires, is stealing and stripping people of their victory. I like what John says in John chapter, I believe it is, help me get this, Holy Ghost. I think it's chapter 9. He says, and this is the condemnation that light, no, actually it is not. It is actually the third chapter of John. Let me get it right. This is the condemnation that light has come, and light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than change their evil deeds. The long story of this whole thing is, have you lost your keys? God is giving you keys to the kingdom. He's giving you keys. Jesus said, I have all authority in my hand, and I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Sometimes we don't realize those spiritual keys are like our natural keys. If you don't put them in the proper lock, that door will not come open. That car will not start, or whatever you need keys for. God is trying to put us in a position where we can be as successful and as victorious as we possibly can. There is not one person who has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior who literally wants their sin exposed. They'd rather hide, hoping nobody would notice, but they don't realize that God not only knows about their sin, but he sees the skeleton that's in their closet. The only way we can come to understand God and unlock the kingdom of God so that we can enjoy the blessings that are manifested as the result of the unlocking of the kingdom of God is to come to his Son, Jesus Christ. You just simply got to believe. What do I need to believe? You need to believe this, and I hope you're paying close attention. Nothing is distracting you right now, because you're going to need this. You don't know if you walk out that door, if you're going to die. Those of you by social media, this might be the last time you see my face. You have no clue. Too many people think that they're going to get on their deathbed. We had this discussion in our men's ministry, and I don't want to talk about the extent of it, but I want to simply say this. Too many folks think that they'll be able to confess Jesus Christ on their deathbed. You may not get that chance. If you're in a plane crash and you're sleeping, you don't know the plane's going down and the plane crashes, where are you going to be able to say, Lord, forgive me? And so what I'm trying to make you understand is the state that you leave this physical earth in is the state you're going to be in when you wake up on the other side. Will you be ready when Jesus comes? You better answer that question and stop playing. Some of us think we got the best health. We work out. We take our vitamins. We eat our vegetables and all that kind of stuff. But I've got a couple of friends who are healthy as can be, worked out all the time in the gym. One had an aneurysm, and the other just got sick, and they both passed away. You don't know where death is. God says in his word that the very hairs of your head are numbered. God knows exactly when you're leaving. The question is, where are you going to be when you leave here? If you've lost your keys, you're going to be in a state of, I don't know. I said, I don't know. That's another way of saying Twilight Zone. I don't know. Believe, first key. Let me get back to what I'm talking about because now I'm just saying what's in my spirit right now. Here's what we need to believe, that God sent his only son to ultimately be the sacrifice to take our place. The fact that Jesus was beaten unmercifully with a cat of nine tail whip and then made to walk 3.5 miles up Golgotha's hill, towing an old rugged cross, being laid down on that cross and nailed to that cross and suspended between heaven and earth, and then being taken down off that cross after he surrendered his life, only to rise 3 days later with all power in his hand. The first key to the kingdom of God unlocks the door to eternal life. The very moment you make a decision to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and because you made that decision to believe, you make a confession. Now you possess the very first key. My encouragement to you is this. Do not lose it. Do not lose it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Key number two. Now here's where it gets a little rough for some of us because we come to the place and point that we've given our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now trying to abide in Christ. And I don't want to use the word trying to. I want to take trying to out. Abiding in Christ. Are you abiding in Christ? Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me as I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I have yet to see a cluster of grapes grow with no vine. I have yet to see leaves grow on a tree where there's no vine or where there's no branch. I have yet to see anything that has an extender to it, meaning a tree or a grape or whatever the case may be. I have yet to see it grow without the help of some type of life source. You can't grow outside of God. You can't mature outside of Christ. You cannot come to the fullness of Christ. We need to come to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, which means that there are some things we're going to have to give up. And we don't want to hear this, but, you know, there are a lot of people that don't want to preach repentance. There are a lot of people that don't want to talk about sin. But as long as God gives me breath in my body, I'm going to talk about sin. You've got to recognize that unless you are attached to the vine, meaning to Christ, you're not going anywhere. Let me tell you a real quick story, and I'm going to move on. There's a story about a farmer who went to harvest a bumper crop of oranges, and when he noticed a couple of his trees were not growing, they hadn't produced any fruit, they hadn't brought anything, and it puzzled the farmer in the fact that while he was trying to harvest this big bumper crop, there were two or three trees that were not producing. So the farmer takes his ladder and goes to the tree, and he puts the ladder on the tree, and just as he uses it to boost himself up on the tree, a portion of the tree caved in, and out came termites. Hundreds and hundreds of termites. The termites had eaten the tree to the place and point where the core of the tree could no longer produce. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to make somebody understand that you cannot expect to bear fruit if you've allowed the very core of your being to be exasperated or evaporated, meaning you can't grow strong if you allow sin to eat away at the foundation of your belief. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Don't answer it for me. Answer it for yourself. Julia, I'm going to say it out loud. I need everybody's attention right here. Put your eyes here. I can see it right here. Everybody's eyes right here. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Can you abide in Christ? You better answer that question. Now, remember, I didn't make you say it. You answered it yourself. God forbid if you meet the face of this earth. Well, God, I would have accepted. God would say, now, there's an old broadcaster by the name of Warner Wolf. His famous saying was, let's go to the videotape. Do you not know that God's going to take you right back to this moment? Right back to this moment. So I hate to say this, but I'm going to put it out there in case you missed the boat. I told you to pay attention. You're going to see this moment again if you miss Christ. If you don't miss Christ, you'll never see this tape again. It goes into that secret place called the lake of fire because God don't need to see it anymore. Let's move on. Let's understand something. Do you understand what the word abide means? It simply means to dwell, to endure, to remain steadfast, to stand steadfast, to be straightforward, to draw. We draw strength when we attach ourselves to Jesus Christ, who is our spiritual bond, our spiritual vine. He's the one that reveals God's word to us by way of the Holy Spirit. And when God's word is revealed to us, it radiates the presence of Almighty God. It shines forth with the righteousness of God. It brings forth and glows the glory of God. It reflects the image of God. It illuminates the will of God. In other words, you'll be bearing fruit. Let that sink in for 37 seconds. There are those who've been fooled into thinking that it's enough just to hang around Christians, to be part of the church, to just show up in church. They show up for occasional worship and certain services and special events. They didn't come for nothing more. In some cases, this isn't everybody. They've come to display, not to put on the garment of praise. They've come to let people see them, to know that they were in the building. They've come basically to watch if we had a praise team, the praise team performs. Sometimes that happens. I don't want to talk about that because that's that pastor and that church that has to deal with that. They won't let Christ enter their spirit. They come, they want a little tiny taste of the word, but they don't desire to eat the whole scroll. They won't even open the book. Some come to receive healing mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially. It's like I said earlier, we want the blessed things, but we do not accept the blesser. There's a problem with that. I mean, I'm gonna drop that out for a hot minute because sometimes we have loved ones who are sick, who need healing. Yeah, the Bible says we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In order for the sick to recover, even if we lay hands on them, you got to understand two things. And number one, you can't lay empty hands on an empty head. That's number one. And number two, if you have hands that are faith-filled, the individual receiving has to believe that God is able. You see, sometimes we think we can just walk up to him, Sister Richards, say, think of Messiah shall come on Honda. Be healed. It don't work that way. All of it is faith-based. All of it is faith-based. Every last bit of it is faith-based. You have to understand something, that we have to put ourselves in a position where we can receive and accept every opportunity to allow the healing balm of Gilead to bathe us, to receive spiritual healing, and we can't afford to miss our opportunity to experience what it means to abide in Christ, literally to become the salt of the earth, that we may be able to penetrate the world for Christ, to abide in Christ. Our spiritual garments become cleaned and pressed, and when we abide in Christ, our spiritual insurance will assure us that we miss the fires of hell. When we abide in Christ, our spiritual house is built on a solid rock and not on sinking sand. Our refreshment comes because Christ now becomes our living water. When we abide in Christ, our spiritual direction becomes straight and narrow. When we abide in Christ, our destination is not a city made by hands. When we abide in Christ, we leave our spiritual footprints and fingerprints for others to follow. My friend, that's called legacy in Christ. Okay. Believe in Christ. Abide in Christ. Last one, and I'm going to use this scripture to fill this one in. Watch for Christ. Now, in the book of Mark, I believe it's, let me read the scripture to you. Take ye heed. Watch and pray, for For you know not when the time is, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, not even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And when I say it to you, I say unto all. This is Jesus talking in Mark 13, 33 through 37. He's turning around telling what? Since you can open that door again, there are people walking around out there. God may have them walk in here. You might as well just go ahead and open the door, because if God sends them in here, we'll be here with them when they come in. Anyway, moving on. Jesus is talking about this. Why do you suppose Christ gave his followers this warning? Think about it. He knows that we're easily distracted by the multiplicities of life. He knows that there are those interruptions, and I mean those disturbances and those commotions, those interferences and those diversions. These are all tactics of the enemy to take your eyes off the prize. That's his job. The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And there are people, even as I speak right now, who are allowing the enemy to distract them, to take their mind away from what they need to be listening to. We don't take it serious until we get in trouble. We don't take it serious until we get sick. We don't take it serious until we're financially destitute. We don't take it serious until something catastrophic takes place. Now you want to call the pastor. Now you want the prayer words. Well, what about the times when the seasons were good? Did you think about abiding in Christ then, believing in Christ then, and watching for Christ? I'm going to take you to this last parable, and I'm going to stop right here. And I know it ain't no jump and shout message, but it's what God allowed me to see and understand. I struggled with portions of this all week long. How do you say it, God? How do you put it across? What's the best way? The best way is to say it the way he gives it to you, and that's what I'm doing right now, because God is serious. I don't know what's about to happen in your life. I don't even know what's going to happen in my life. All I know is I got to be ready when it comes. I can't get ready for my wife. I can't get ready for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I got to get ready for me. And you got to do the same exact thing. What I wanted to share with you is the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. You've heard the story. And if you know anything about the Jewish culture, anytime a wedding was going to take place, here's what would happen. The bridegroom bridegroom and his father would come, and they'd make a presentation. I got to give you Jewish history and then bring you back to the spiritual meaning of the whole thing. The bridegroom would bring some type of gift, whether it was a goat, whatever the case was, and they would present it to the bride. And he would let the bride's father know that his son has a desire to marry his daughter, the bride's daughter, or the father's daughter. Anyway, he would receive and accept the gift. If he didn't receive or accept the gift, that marriage could not be arranged or could have taken place. But if he did accept the gift, that simply means that he was willing to release his daughter to this man to become this man's wife so that they could start a family. Well, the groom now gets this one and only chance to talk to the bride, because they leave them in a room together and they don't really get to know each other. They probably exchange names, and he tells her, you know, I saw you from afar off, and I knew that I could always love you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. I'll provide for you. I'll supply your every need. And he probably went on and on and on and on. And after a minute or so, they brought him back out. They had 3 cups that they raised. And I'm going to be careful about this, because that's a whole nother teaching. The 3 cup was the communion, was the cup of unity. The 2nd cup was the cup of fellowship. The 3rd cup was what they call the joining of the kingdoms, or the joining of the families, which spiritually speaking, we'll see that when we go to the Lamb's Supper. Again, a whole nother teaching that we can get into later. But what I wanted to show you was the 5 wives prepared themselves, kept lamp oil in their lamp, and were ready to go. If the bridegroom showed up tomorrow, they were ready. The 5 foolish fooled around, played games, didn't get themselves prepared. And on that night, when the bridegroom came back, 5 were ready to go. And the other 5 had to go get ready to go. My question to you again, have you lost your keys? Do you know where your keys are? They're in the door. But you don't know that your keys are in the door until you come back to the, who is the door? Jesus. Come back to the door. Your keys are in the door. What I'm trying to make you understand is God wants you ready. God wants you prepared. You don't know the day or the hour that the Son of Man is going to return. You're in a position right now where if God can, and let me ask this question, and I'm gonna try my best to stop right here. That's the second I'm getting ready to close that day. If the Lord called you home physically, and I'm saying this from my own experience, the other night, and sometimes I have this issue from time to time, where it felt like I could not breathe. And for a split second, I thought it was over. For a split second, I said, not for a split second, I thought it was over. And it made me think, what if that was it? What if that was it? All right, you the bishop. You already ready. Don't, just because I'm the bishop don't mean that I'm ready. I'm just like you. I have to set my affections on things above and not on things on the earth. I have to be Christ inside minded, God-centered all the time. I have to daily repent of something I may have said or done, whether it was in foolishness, folly, or in seriousness. I'm just like you. The difference between me and you is God has given me the responsibility to teach and train you. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. But in that split second, I wasn't sure. I said, oh, my Lord. And it kind of scared me a little bit because it made me start thinking. I got to do better than I'm doing. I might be doing all right, but why just do all right? I need to do better. I'm just trying to make somebody understand that God is looking for a people who's willing and waiting and wanting to move forward. The last thing I'm going to say is, are you watching? Are you paying attention? The Lord's return is coming. Now, let me say this to those of you. I mentioned those five wives and those five foolish virgins for one reason and one reason only. Those who were watching did not take the time to party. They prepared. Those who were watching didn't waste their time in gossip. They spread the good news or the gospel that the bridegroom is soon to come. Those who were watching were not lazy, neither were they lethargic. They were actually lively, excited, and anticipating. Those who were watching weren't greedy. They were generous. They weren't slow. They were swift. They wanted to be ready when Jesus comes because they did understand that on his appearance the second time, they had that opportunity and chance to go with him. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. Christ is the door to your salvation. He alone has the keys to heaven and hell. He alone is your hope and your help. He alone in those days when those clouds hang low and it seems like the clock is moving extremely slow, he alone is the one that has the ability to deliver. I pray that you've gotten something out of the word. I'm just simply going to ask one more time. Have you lost your keys? They're in the door. Can't find your keys? Where are they? In the door. Who is the door? Okay, that was weak, but that's okay. I'll let that one pass. Who is the door? It's what y'all did. I'm trying to say, here you go. Who's the door? If he's the door, look, I don't know how to say this any more plain. I don't care how saved you think you are. See, the problem here, you know, thank God the Lord made me a bishop, but the title means nothing if I'm not living the life. The title means nothing if I'm not doing the job and the responsibility. I understand man has set up, God has set up protocol, but man follows protocol but has added things to him. We have to understand what God is trying to do here in this day and age. God is trying to get us ready. That's all he wants to do. And it don't matter how old you are. You are never too young to serve the Lord. You are never too old to serve the Lord. And I like those people who think they know more than you. I love those people. And if you're on this on social media, I love you. I want you to know. And there's a reason why. Because just when you think you know, God has a way of showing you that you don't know what you think. God has a way of showing you that you're dumber than you think. Yeah, I said it. You're dumber than you think. So always be a student of the word. Always be a student of the word. If you know something, teach it. And don't just run up because you think you have authority to teach it. Do it right because everybody is under somebody. Even I have somebody who's over me. My pastor's in New Haven, Connecticut, and they just shifted. I have a new pastor. okay, for the church that I belong to up in Connecticut. I have a new pastor, but I have to acknowledge that new pastor. So everybody has somebody that's over them. Don't ever think that just because you think you've arrived, you've not arrived. And when we get so deep that we cannot turn around and be around people, oh, I just don't have God is speaking to me. I must go into my secret closet because the Lord has a word for me. Okay, the word is for you. You're right, the word's for you. Because when he has a word for the people that are around you or that may surround you, God in that self-same hour releases that word because that time is the season that you're going to see those people. I can't do deep. I can only do Jesus. Me and deep ain't good together. Last time I realized that I was deep, I was actually stuck, and I just didn't know it. I'm not saying that's your problem. I'm just simply saying. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Perhaps there's somebody listening to me under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ, has not allowed themselves to believe in Christ, or maybe you're somebody who gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and you failed to abide in Christ, or maybe you're somebody who's given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, learning how to abide in Christ, but you've not yet learned how to watch for the return of Christ. I've got good news for you. God still has you in his heart and on his mind, and God asks one simple thing to you: surrender. Give up. Come on in. How stupid is it to stand out there and it's pouring rain? You don't want to get wet, but you're going to stand outside when there's a building that you can go into. This is what I'm talking about for salvation. There is a building that you can come into. It's called the body of Christ. It's a bunch of believers who just believe that God has made a way for them to live a far better life. I don't know if you're going through heartbreak. I don't know if you're going through trauma, calamity. I don't know what you're dealing with or what you're trying to overcome. But just know this. Jesus says he'll never leave you. He said he'll never forsake you. He's always there. He's right here, just a prayer away. What are you dealing with? Have you thought about giving it to Jesus? Have you thought about turning it over to him, letting him have it? And when I say let him have it, you put it down. Do not go back and pick it up. If you're that person, pray this simple prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I humble myself before you. I'm asking you to renew me in my spirit. God, we need you to give us back the keys that you've made available to us. We believe you. We abide in you. We watch for you. Thank you for renewing us, for renewing our strength. Even in this world, Lord, we ask that you will continue to use us. We might get hurt sometimes. People might make us walk away sometimes, but help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your word, that we may bear fruit, because this is our ultimate. We've been called to love. We've been called to bear fruit. Allow these things to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to trust God for those, and maybe you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, go to Romans chapter 10, read verses 8 through 16, excuse me, because God is waiting for you, whoever you are, social media, God's waiting for you. You've got work to do, and until you report to him, that work will not begin. You've seen glimpses of it, but now it's time to see the whole story. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Sister Courtney, I look to you to give us our announcements for the coming week.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
I didn't give you this announcement, Sister Courtney, but if you go to my Facebook page, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, and I'm talking to just the men only. Tomorrow night, the Bridge Network and the Men on the Bridge are having their gathering by way of Zoom. And the title of that is There a Man in the House? I know, and I keep giving stuff away, so I'm going to give away this little piece for you men who are listening. If you look at the 30th verse of that particular 22nd chapter of Ezekiel, that's going to be the focal point. He talks about, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, to make up the breach. Now, I don't have a subtopic, but I'm going to throw one out there as of today. There's a hole in the wall. Who's there to fix it? So men, show up. Go to my page, Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr., get the Zoom ID. If you have Zoom, come in. Men, come in. It's time for us to talk. The women have held their part for years, for decades. When are we going to stand up and be the men of God we were called to be? We got to come out from under the rocks, from behind the trees. We got to stop hiding behind the skirts of some of our women. All men are not doing that. But a great many of us are not stepping forward. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. And I invite each and every man that's listening to me to join us. It's 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Midwest, and 6 p.m. Pacific. Now, if you're in one of the other continents, I don't know, go 6 hours forward for across the pond, 6 hours backward for whatever's across the pond from California. But the bottom line is, come on in, men. It's going to be an open discussion. And we want to find out where we are, and let's come up with a solution how we can bridge the gap. Amen? Amen. All hearts and minds are clear. We thank God. Is there anything that I've missed, anything I might have overlooked? Okay. Our executive administrator says I got it all. So we're finished. At this particular time, we want to thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to seeing you in the days to come. By the way, next Sunday, for anybody that wants to, and here at Power to Stand, we do it when we feel like it, but I'm going to do it next Sunday, dressed out Sunday. Come in with it. Please do me a favor. Ladies, make sure you're properly covered up. We don't need to see your mountains or your valleys. Amen. I said it. We don't need to see your mountains. You got to say these things because, child, please, some of y'all ain't been to enough churches. They will walk in and everything they own is just about to fall out. It's like that far from falling. Improper. So to next Sunday's casual Sunday, but not casual to the point that you go, I'm going to stop right there. Y'all get the picture. I don't need to say another. And men, leave the skinny jeans home, please. Please. We don't need to see all your formulation. Y'all read between the lines. Okay? I'm going to shut up because I'm about to say something else. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Anyway, just out Sunday, next Sunday. God bless you all. Let's pray out, and then Brother Leonard, get that outro ready. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us, God. Thank you for helping us to be reassured of where we need to be and what we need to do. Thank you for solving our problems. Thank you for sharing with us how to get over and above those hills that we may otherwise try to climb. For those of us who have suffered brokenheartedness, thank you for the healing and the mending. Thank you for sounding the trumpet, God, on your holy mountain. Thank you for sounding the alarm. Thank you, Father God, for the promises that you've given to us. Thank you for being our deliverer. Thank you for being our teacher, our trainer. Help us to stay focused on you. Help us to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. God, as we move forward in this day, God, but never from your presence, lead us, guide us, guard us, govern us, protect us, and correct us as we move forward. For it's in the mighty Master's majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $ power to stand or on PayPal, preacher719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.